If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
WGN, this is the Wintrust Business Lunch. You've probably heard the name Brian Gordon, president of Gordon Associates. If you are a regular listener to this show and station, he is a sponsor here and also an expert on long-term care. In fact, our friend Terry Savage, who does not endorse people, she doesn't get paid, and she is very particular about how she talks about these things, says that you are her guy. She really appreciates the service that you provide. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Does she have long? I'm going to ask that question, then you can say none of your business. Does she get long-term care insurance from you?
So I normally would never tell anybody, but Terry's always said to make sure I tell everyone that she does have a couple policies.
I think she said that on the radio.
Yes.
At what age should somebody buy then long-term care?
So people are, the average age today is right around 53, 54 people buying the policies. We see people all the way from the age of 35 to 75, 78 years old looking at the coverage. It just kind of depends on where they are in their lives. And some people just have not been educated on this subject.
The younger you are buying it, the less it's going to cost?
The less it'll cost, the more options you'll have, and the easier you'll have a job, you know, getting through underwriting as well.
What is long-term care?
Long-term care basically is a policy, is someone who needs care while they're at home, receiving home health care. They could need care in assisted living facilities. They also could need care in memory care facilities, as well as full-blown nursing homes, the skilled type of services as well.
So long-term care could be anything. The care, not the insurance, but the care would be for bathing, food preparation, getting in and out of bed, daily household activities.
Right. So the
long-term care.
Yeah. So the policy triggers the benefits needing help with your activities of daily living. So bathing, feeding, dressing, toileting, transferring, and maintaining continence. And the important thing with the feeding, John, since you mentioned that, with the feeding part of it, if you just need help preparing the meals and you're just not, you know, you just need help cleaning your house, you just need a ride somewhere, these policies are not designed for that type of service for people. But if they put the food in front of you and you were not able to put the food in your mouth with a fork or a spoon or whatever the utensil is, that's considered feeding.
That's interesting, because my mom can feed herself, but she can't prepare food. She couldn't heat a can of soup.
Right.
I wonder what the policy would say about that.
So there would be some conversations with the family or trying to figure out other areas within the policy where she might need help.
Yeah.
And where the benefit would activate for her.
And so then you get an insurance policy to pay these various expenses.
Yes.
Later in life. What does the policy pay? How much money do you get?
So the policy they're designed, people really pick and choose how much benefit they want to have for themselves. People can typically choose anywhere from about $2,000 a month in benefits to $12,000 or $15,000 a month in benefits. So it just depends on how much of the risk and how much of the problem someone wants to bite off for themselves.
So it could be comprehensive or supplemental.
Correct. Most people do supplemental. They just want to give their family and their loved ones some direction with this.
That's interesting, because you're going to have Social Security, such as it is, and you may have other retirement assets, right?
Correct.
So then do you work with somebody calculating that? Here's the anticipated income. Here's the potential expense. The difference is what I would need in long-term care.
That's one way to do it, is to work with someone who kind of looks at your whole situation, finds out where the gap might be or the hole might be in that plan, and see how much supplemental income you might need if you needed care for yourself.
What if I Absolutely. Don't need it and I've been paying these premiums all along?
So depending on the policy you have, a lot of the older plans, the more what we call traditional long-term care, are kind of like our home and our auto insurance. If you don't need to use it, that means nothing bad happened to you at the end of the day. But there is no return of premium.
Like just, term insurance.
Right. Just the peace of mind of having the coverage. The plans that we're dealing with a lot more today are the hybrid life insurance and the hybrid life insurance with long-term care and the hybrid annuity with long-term care. And those policies, if you don't use them, there is a return of premium or a death benefit that would come back to the families or the estate at that point.
Like a whole life product.
Like a whole life or universal, correct.
So that doesn't do you any good. You've passed along now. You didn't need the money. Now your kids would get it, or whoever your heirs are.
Correct, yep.
And that's more popular, but is gaining popularity, but it's probably more expensive premium-wise.
It depends on what people are looking at. You would think because there is a death benefit included in those policies and there's a return of some of the premiums through an annuity chassis, you would think they would be, but not always. We have some traditional plans that the rates are rival the cost of the hybrids.
Well, they're earning income in the policy, right? I mean, doesn't that help pay for it a little bit?
With the insurance company, they're getting a larger premium, and they're anticipating that they're paying out no matter what with the hybrid policies,
because
they're going to pay a death benefit no matter what happens.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
And at the beginning, you're basically using your own life insurance policy.
What do you recommend?
I always recommend looking at both types of policies, because I don't know what you're going to like, and I don't know what the budget can handle in certain situations. So we educate people on both types of options so they can make the decision with us on what's important.
What are the long-term care expenses coming in at right now?
Chicagoland area, I just met with someone yesterday in the suburbs. They are in a very beautiful memory care facility, and they're paying a little bit over $12,000 a month for their care.
For one person?
For one person in a one-bedroom unit. We see people's expenses anywhere from about $5,000 to $6,000 a month. I've got clients that are spending $20,000 a month plus on their care, so it just depends.
What does it matter if I'm getting the care at home or in a care facility?
Typically, all the plans that we work with today are going to cover all levels of care. So you kind of have the choice of if you're at home or a facility, and you're receiving typically the same amount of benefit in either level of care. So you pick and choose. If you qualify for one, you qualify for the other.
If I have a car crash, then it's clear that the door is dented. I got to get a new door. That triggers the policy. I wonder what triggers a long-term care policy.
So long-term, this is a really important part of the policies. This is where people need to go in with the right expectations. So there's two ways to activate the benefits on the policy. The first way is if someone needs help with what we call our activities of daily living. Those are going to be things like bathing, feeding, dressing, toileting, transferring, and maintaining continence. The other way to trigger the benefit would be due to a severe cognitive impairment. And I'm not talking about just leaving your keys upstairs when your partner or spouse tells you to go get them. I'm talking about severe cognitive
dementia
impairment.
Dementia or Alzheimer's,
yes.
Sure. But on that first set of circumstances, it would seem to me like there would be a negotiation might be one way to put it. That is, I might advocate for my mom or dad that they can't do the daily activities. And you might say, well, it's not easy for them, but they can. That strikes me as a complication with the policy.
It can be, and that's why if a person has a good agent or if they work through us, the families always call us up as they see their loved one's health changing, and they'll run the scenario by us, and they'll say, oh, they need help with cooking.
Okay, so does it pay yet? No, wait a little longer. Does it pay yet? Can it trigger yet? And what's the actual process? Does an underwriter come in and evaluate the people? How do you know?
So what happened today, and it's probably changed 7 or 8 times how we do the claim intake.
Yeah.
Today, it depends on the carrier, but a lot of the carriers are going to do a phone intake with the family member or the policyholder. They'll get the basic information of what's going on. From that point forward, they will most likely want to do a face-to-face assessment on that person as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll come in and assess to see what they're able to do and what they're not able to do.
I'm going
to
say, Mom, walk really slow today.
Well, and that's the other problem we have with this is our parents and our families become Superman or Superwoman when someone comes and assesses them, and all of a sudden they're ready to run a track meet.
There's no time to show off.
Right.
But I mean, it's a time to just honestly evaluate your need and then get the money that you have been paying in for. Brian Gordon is here. He is the president of Gordon Associates. This is what he does. If you've got a question, this would be a good time to text 312-981-7200. This is a scary thing, isn't it? I need to take a break, but it just seems to me like if you're 35 and listening and you said you're writing policies for 35-year-olds, you can't imagine this is on your horizon. And yet, you know, if you're lucky enough to live to be 85, you're going to be in these circumstances and you'll wish you had that backup, right? That's what this is.
Right. Well, it provides income and it gives people direction on what you want to do as you need help.
Okay, but if you are fortunate enough to have saved enough money, maybe you self-insure in that regard. Maybe you've got a good retirement or pension plan. So talk to me about that math, too. We're talking with Brian Gordon. He is the president of Gordon Associates, and his website is bestltcplan.com, as in long-term care, bestltcplan.com, and it's about long-term health care. And you've been talking to us about the premiums, the payouts, the need for the insurance. What did you say the average premiums are that people pay?
The premiums will range anywhere, depending if someone has a worksite product, could be, you know, $30, $40 a month, all the way up to someone paying a couple thousand dollars a month if they're looking to have a paid-up plan.
Do employers pay this, like they help pay for my health care here at the radio station?
It's becoming much more popular, yes. There are many employers.
You're going to walk down the hall, ask them to, you know, underwrite that or subsidize that a little bit. When I do use the money then to pay for long-term care, is the money coming out of the policy taxable?
No, you receive 100% of that money tax-free.
Financial advisors would say, though, that rather than putting money into a premium each month, put it into your IRA or some sort of investment product and grow that money yourself.
I agree. We should be doing that as well. But as far as when it comes to needing care or buying long-term care insurance, it's all about making decisions easy for families. And we also talk about the idea that you start putting that money away. And if you need the money on the short side of it, you're not going to have a lot of money saved up. And then also, if you have it on the long-term side of it, the money you start pulling out of there, if you're selling things and there's gains in it, that's going to be taxable to you as well. So,
does this company analyze the policy I already have, my Social Security income, my stage of life, I'm 70, to see if a policy is even worth it?
Yeah, absolutely. We are.
And you might
to
tell somebody, here's what the premium costs. It is what it is. You're not underwriting the insurance. Well, you're underwriting it, but you're not the insurance provider, right?
Correct. We'll help give them a free free review, and we'll help
them. Do you work with more than one company then?
Yes, we work with over 10.
So you're a broker that way and get them the best policy you can find.
Yes.
And are people shopping price or are they shopping services?
A little bit of both. What we try to do is we people don't know what they don't know a lot of times, so we're going to show them a variety of different types of plans, and then we'll talk to them and get an idea of what they want to move forward with or what they're comfortable and not comfortable with, and we help eliminate things.
What about this? I'm 65 years old in relatively good shape and concerned about the cost, if it's even affordable. What would a typical premium be for various amounts of coverage?
So the premium, that's a loaded question, again, depending on the type of benefit somebody buys for themselves at the age of 65. But I see people that are spending, you know, $2,500 to $3,000 a year at age 65. And I have people that are spending $10,000 to $15,000 a year for their policies to get them paid up over 10 years. So again, it's a pretty wide range depending on the benefits they look at.
Is it conceivable that, but also, while the numbers could be astronomical, assuming you do have some assets, maybe the sell is, I'm not telling you how to run your business, but you don't need all of the money, you need some of the money. You need to get you between the gap of what you have and what you'll need, right?
Right. I have some people that just come to me, they just want some basic benefits. They understand these policies have a care management mechanism, and they like the idea of somebody helping them make some decisions along the way.
I thought it was just cash coming out, and then I use it. Why would there be a difference, one need for another? You know what I mean? I mean, you're talking about the kind of policy you would buy. I'm going to buy a policy that gives me some money. Mm-hmm. What else is there to know?
Right. Well, you want to know how much it is, what the cost of care is in your area. You want to get an idea of what your monthly income is. Certainly, you need to make sure that the premium that you're looking at is affordable as well.
This one says Medicare picks up some of these home health care costs. Do the long-term coverage plans pick up the difference?
They pick up the difference typically, and Medicare will be very limited on what they'll do. They'll help us get better and back on our feet again, but it's not something that's going to be for a long-term event, and then there's going to be limitations on it. We dealt with it for my dad 2 summers ago and learned a lot about what Medicare does at home and what you do and what you should not be doing with that.
How's business for you guys these days?
Business has been good. We've got a lot of people looking at this coverage, and people are seeing people living a lot longer, and we're starting to get just a lot of action from people asking a lot of good questions. We're starting to get down to our, I'm my first family of third generation. So I've got
that's the, right. Yeah.
So we're starting to
family business.
Yeah. So I got my daughter works with us, but I'm also starting to see my own clients referring like a grandchild of one of my clients as well. So
wow.
We're starting to get, I mean, it means I've been doing it for too long already. So
Brian Gordon is the president of Gordon Associates, bestltcplan.com, long-term care, bestltcplan.com. Brian, that's a lot. Well done. Thanks for the help.
Thanks for having me.
Kind of scary, isn't it?